Good morning. Welcome to Fellowship Baptist Church. Good to be in the Lord's house with you this morning. Just thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here together as a church family, to worship together, to bring our cares and our prayers with each other here to the church this morning. Man, I seen my daddy walk in this morning. I'm already tongue-tied. I mean, good gracious. Let's let the Bad News Bears sit down and we'll let the Yankees come on and play. But no, my goodness. If I hadn't seen him walk in, I may not have been so tongue-tied this morning. But, Dad, good to see you this morning. Yeah, he said I didn't do a thing, but that's all right. I got to step up my game a little bit. No, I'm thankful for my dad, thankful for the Sunday that he come and preached for us, but also just thankful for the upbringing that I had and the way that I was taught to live for God. And he didn't control that, and he couldn't force that in my life, but I'm thankful that he and Mom raised me to love the Lord. But it's good to have Dad with us this morning. Good to have each and every one of you with us. The church looks good this morning. It looks good to be back in the house of the Lord. But before we go to the Lord in word of prayer this morning, I do want to just ask you just in a special way, let's remember Sister Nancy Fall. Today is the one-year anniversary that Preacher Fall went to heaven. He reached his goal a year ago, and I know it's been a tough time, and I know that as we go, you know, each and every one of us, I feel for sure that we don't forget our loved ones who go on. And sometimes it feels odd mentioning it back to their loved ones. But every now and again, just let them know, hey, I remember, and I'm praying for you. So let's remember Sister Nancy in a special way today and through this week, that God just comfort her and be with her. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for the strength and the health that you've given us to be here. God, I pray, dear Father, that while we're here today, that we'll not take this opportunity for granted, God, that you said where two or three were gathered in your name, that you would be in the midst, God, and we want to ask you just to be present here with us and help us, God, that we'll be present here with you, not worrying about what may happen after a while or tomorrow or next week or anything else, God, but just to be present with you and, God, allow you to speak to our hearts, God, and allow you to make changes in our lives, God, where it's necessary. And, God, I pray most of all, for one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. God, I ask you to touch each and every need, the ones I know nothing about, God. I know that you know them. God, you know exactly how to touch in each and every circumstance, and we ask you to do that. God, we ask you just to be here with us and help us, God, just to worship you and to magnify you and glorify you because you're truly worthy. Help us to live our lives in a way that gives you glory and points someone else to Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen.
And your grace multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
In prayer as we get into the message this morning, I pray, ask you to pray that God will guard my mouth and my mind, and let me preach Bible, and let me stay out of my own personal feelings and my own personal convictions or anything else, and preach exactly what God has for us in His Word this morning. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Me too. I am too. Thankful to have the opportunity to be here. Thankful that we are not sitting at home, not able to come to the house of the Lord this morning. You know, I'm thankful for Facebook and the tool that we have there. I really am. I can't explain that enough, how thankful I am for that. For some that are still not ready to come back and sit in a congregation, I'm glad that tool is there. But it's just not the same as being in the house of the Lord together. It absolutely is not the same. So I'm thankful for you being here this morning. If you'll pray with me and pray for me, that God will just help us preach this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. Again, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. God, we thank you for your word. God, I know it's not about how I deliver your word, but it is about the power that is in your word. And we know that your word is powerful and that it's sharp. Sometimes it cuts coming and a going, God, and I pray to your Father that you'll help. God, if there's place in our lives that need cutting on, God, I pray that you'll help us to allow you to do that, God, and allow you to make those adjustments in our life, God. And then also, if there's places in our lives that we just need encouraging, God, I know that your word is capable of that. And God, we ask you to do that this morning. God, I pray that whatever your will is for our lives through this message, God, that we'll allow your spirit to work in our lives. And God, that we will leave here closer than we were when we came in. And again, God, we ask you if there's one that's lost, that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. Thank you for my church family that's here, God. They don't know how much they mean to me. And I'm not able to show them. There's no possible way that I could show them how much they mean to me. But God, I pray that you'll just bless them, bless their families. Help us all to be in a place that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Mark chapter number 14, we're going to begin reading with verse number 9 in just a moment. As you notice today as we get into the message, this is a topic that seems like it's been hot on my mind and on my heart here recently, and seems like something that I keep going back to. And I don't mean to, and I don't mean to harp on it or anything else. I just want to be, I want our church to be exactly what God would have it to be. I want you to know before I start preaching this morning that I am not one bit discouraged with Fellowship Baptist Church. I'm not one bit disgusted. I'm not one bit angry. I'm not one bit mad. If you ask me right now if there's a church in North Carolina that you want to pastor, what church is it? I would tell you Fellowship Baptist Church. This is where God wants me, and this is where I want to be. But I think that we have some things that we can do as a church that we can become a church that God would be more pleased with and that God would use. We were talking just before service this morning, and this may be a separate message at some time, about the COVID vaccination that's being given out. And some of you have chosen to take it, and some of you are still saying there's no way in the world that I would take it, and that is completely up to you and your own convictions and your own beliefs. It has nothing to do with me whatsoever. But I just want to look at it like this morning, that we have this thing called COVID that we've been dealing with for the past year. And now that there's a vaccination out, and now that there's an opportunity for people to go and be vaccinated, there are people who have been really nervous about their health situation, and they are excited about getting this vaccination, and they are opening up centers everywhere that people can go and be vaccinated. You can do drive-through vaccinations. You can go through places that's been bought out by hospitals, and they are setting up just to do vaccinations, and people are standing in line, and people are wanting this vaccination because they are worried about what COVID might do to their health. Well, I want you to know something, that all of that is fine, and all of that is great, and all of that is well, but I want to tell you something. There is something to be way more worried about than COVID, and that it is your eternal situation with God. Whether or not you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. And just as all of these vaccination centers are being set up, I want this place right here to be a salvation center where people, that when they realize that they need Jesus Christ, or even before they realize that they need Jesus Christ, that they can at least realize that there's a church that loves them, that there's a church that cares about them, that there's a God that cares about them. And when they come in here, that God can speak to their heart, that God can convict them, that God can love them, and that they come to know Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. Hey, all these COVID vaccination centers are wonderful, but what I want to tell you something is we need some good old churches to be salvation centers for people who come to know Jesus Christ. My desire is for Fellowship to be that. My desire is to be a part of a church. See, that's one thing that I love about Fellowship Baptist Church, is I don't feel like I'm a ruler here. I don't even really feel like I'm any kind of leader. I feel like I'm a part of this church. I know y'all are looking to me for leadership, and I want to do my best to follow God and let God be the leader here. But I never want to be a dictator. I never want to be a ruler. I'm just glad to be part of the family of Fellowship, and I want us all to be where God wants us to be, that we can be a church that He can trust to send sinners to and they come to find salvation before it's everlasting too late. Mark chapter number 14, that message was free. Let's get into the one that's going to cost you. Mark chapter number 14, let's begin reading with verse number 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. they're desiring to kill Jesus. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. And may have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whosoever... this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. This also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him unto them. I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. And for just a few minutes this morning, I want us to think about this thought and to think about this in our lives. Your praise is not waste. Your praise is not waste. We find here in Mark chapter number 14, as this lady, as these people are gathered together, and you can also find an account of this scripture over in John chapter number 12, I believe it is. But as we find here in Mark chapter number 14, that Jesus is sitting here, and that we got a lot of people together. And the Bible tells us, let's go and let's take a look here at who is at this meeting. First of all, we look and we see that... this woman that the Bible is talking about that brought this ointment in and put it on Jesus is Mary. And Mary is the sister of Martha and Lazarus. She brings an alabaster box that is full of ointment. Let's identify this alabaster box. It was something that was probably a very expensive heirloom that had been passed down in her family. It was something that they had filled with this ointment. As you look at what the people said when she began to pour it on Jesus' head, they said, why in the world would you take and pour this ointment on Jesus? You have just wasted this ointment, this very precious ointment. You have just wasted it, and it could have been sold for 300 pence. Let's put that in perspective for us. In that day, just a regular worker, a rural worker, that would have been about a year's income for just a rural worker during that time period. You have just taken a year's income, and you've poured it out on Jesus, and we could have taken this and got financial gain, and we could have been able to help the poor with this. And as Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, comes and does this. And as she, this event also is recorded in John chapter number 12. If you remember in John chapter number 11, it was the time that Lazarus had died and the sisters were distraught and that Jesus was late until Jesus stepped on the scene and he called Lazarus up out of the grave. So as we take a look at who is here in this house at this particular time, we find Mary, we find Martha, we find Lazarus, and then also the Bible talks about Simon, who was a leper. So we have Simon the leper, but let me tell you something. Simon must have no longer been a leper, or he would not have been in this house. Simon was no longer sick with leprosy, or he wouldn't be there. It was very possible that he was a leper that had been healed by Jesus. And then as we look around at the rest of the house, and we see this group of people who are now scorning against Martha, against Mary, because she had dumped this ointment out on Jesus, they had probably seen miracles upon miracles that Jesus had done. Some of them had probably even experienced miracles that had been done by Jesus unto them or unto their family. But as they're sitting here and as they see them pour this ointment out on Jesus, the only thing that they could think about is the financial side of what she had done. The only thing that they could think about is she had just wasted this ointment. The only thing that they could think is we could have taken this ointment and we could have fed the poor with the money that we could have got. They couldn't see what she was doing. They couldn't know her heart. And what she was doing was pouring out praise unto him, pouring out worship unto him, because she knew who Jesus was. And the only thing that they could say is, your praise is waste. Well, I want you to know something, church, that your praise could never be waste unto God. That I don't care. You may say, well, some people just get extravagant. Some people, they want to go over the top with praise. They want to lift their hands. Ooh, oh no, not lift your hands. They want to shout amen. Oh no, somebody did. They want to scream and holler. Oh no, surely somebody wouldn't do that. Well, I want to tell you something. We've all been taught to be to worship in order so much that we have ordered our praise out of our churches today, that we have come to a place where we're scared to raise our hands, we're scared to clap our hands, we're scared that somebody might think that we're a little bit on a wild side, that we're out here somewhere, oh my goodness, did you see what they did? Well, I want you to know something. She didn't care what everybody else thought. She didn't have a clue what they thought, and she didn't care. She knew that Jesus was worthy to have that ointment poured over him, and that's exactly what she did. Your praise is not waste. Your praise is not something that you should take lightly, but all she could see, all they could see was the cost of the oil. Well, I want you to know that as she's standing there in that house that day, and as she comes to Jesus, and as she pours this ointment out on Jesus, I want you to know something, that as we have already looked at the other people that may have been there in that house that day, that there was some more people that should have been found at the feet of Jesus instead of standing back and judging her. We've already discussed Simon the leper. Now, in Bible times, leprosy was an awful thing. You would have been run out of the city. You would have had to holler every time that somebody come around, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." Kind of like, "I've got COVID, I've got COVID." And you get put over there in the corner and everybody stays away from you. And some of you have experienced that for a couple of weeks or four in your life. And it's not no fun to be the outcast, and you got to go stay over here, and everybody stays away from you, and nobody wants to be around you. And when you come back, they still like look at you like, "Are you sure you're okay? Are you sure? You didn't used to wear a mask. Why are you wearing a mask now?" And now here Simon was. He'd probably been run out at some point in time. He'd had to identify himself as unclean and say, "Stay away from me. I've got leprosy." And now that he is healed, here he is in the house with Jesus. Here he is in the house with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Here he is in the house with all of these other people. He should not have been over there where he was. He should have been right beside of her when she dumped out that ointment, praising and worshiping. I want you to know something. As I look around this church this morning, that there are some of you that have reason to worship God. There are some of you that have praise that needs to be given unto God. That I look at my life and I can see reason why God deserves my praise and my honor this morning. Some of you should not be here. Some of you have already cheated death in your life, and you say cheated death. Not really. God had mercy on you. Some of you should not be here this morning. Some of you can look to your left or to your right and you can see kids that you shouldn't have had, that the doctors may have told you you would never have any children, and all of a sudden here they are to the left or to the right. Some of you should not have the health that you have this morning. You've been through things that the doctor said was incurable, but Jesus stepped on the scene and the great physician stepped in, and yet we're afraid to praise him. Some of us, we didn't get what we deserved, but we found grace and mercy and forgiveness at the foot of the cross. We've been delivered from a terrible life of sin. Some of you have been blessed way more than you can count, but yet we're sitting way over here and we're letting somebody else do the praise. God help us. God help us. As we look, Murray wasn't concerned about the earthly gain that she could have had from the oil. Murray was it? Hey, let me just stop right here and say this. I'm not trying to pump you or prime you or get you to jump pews or get you to run up down the aisle or jump in the baptistry or any of those things. What I'm trying to do is get us all in the mindset that we can turn loose a little bit. That we can come into God's house and that we can have a good time in God's house and we can worship God, and he is worthy of our praise. Again, as we continue to look around the room that day, there you are. If you go back and you read the account of this over in John chapter number 12, you'll find that Martha actually got upset with Mary. That as Mary was over anointing Jesus and being with Jesus and worshiping him, Mary was over here doing all of this work and she was preparing, and she comes out and probably had her hands on her hips and said, "Jesus, why am I in here working all by myself? Out of my ear. Jesus, I'm in here doing all of this work, and look at her. She's just worshiping and praising you." She might have had a little head shake going on in the middle of that. All upset. All upset. But you know what? She should have been right there with her, worshiping and praising, because she was there the day that Lazarus was called up out of the grave. She was there when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And so many times I get this mental picture of a stone in front of a grave, and somebody rolled that stone out of the grave, and all of a sudden, the only thing you can hear is old Lazarus hopping up out of that grave. I want to tell you something, that God, that Jesus was deserving of their praise and their worship, and Mary was the only one giving it. That Mary was the only one that was there. There stood Mary. Martha over there in the kitchen being all upset because Mary was worshiping. There stood Simon that had been cleansed of leprosy, and there he was, not at the feet of Jesus. But there's Mary pouring out her ointment, that very precious. And the only thing that could be thought was, what a waste. What a waste. Well, you know what? I'm afraid sometimes that the worship has been cut off in the house of God because people are worried about what everybody else is going to think about them. Well, if I begin to worship, they're going to think that it's a show. Listen, I've been part of both of them. I've been part of times when it was God felt and that God was in the middle of it. And I've been in part where it was a show. And God will show you the difference very quickly, which one's which. But you know, even the times that it was a show, even the times when it might have been not all led by the Spirit, if I'm going to do something, I just soon as it be for the glory of God as anything else in the world. So here Mary is. I want you to notice something, that when she took this ointment over there, see, I'm going to get, this proves that Mary was not Baptist right here. She was not Baptist, I guarantee you. Because as she goes over and she's got this very precious ointment, she's got this alabaster box that was probably an heirloom to her family. And as she's got this very precious thing, the Bible tells us that she broke the box and that it poured out on Jesus. All of it. She didn't dab it on him. See, we Baptists, we're dabbers. We're dabbers. As long as we just dab, we won't go over the edge. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? You know, some of you youngsters don't even know what I'm talking about. I say dab and y'all are going, some old Cam Newton something other. But for some of you that are my age and a little older, you know what dab is. You remember being on your way to church, and mama looked back in the back seat, and you had some breakfast left on your chin. And you see, remember seeing that handkerchief or that Kleenex come out of her pocketbook, and mama go, and begin to dab you and try to get that off of your face. Just a little bit, just enough. That's all we want to do is just... Some of y'all ain't never had a spit bath and you need one. I've had lots of spit baths on my way to church. That dab, let's give them just enough. Let's give just enough to get by. And you know what? I'm afraid a lot of times that's what we do with our praise. We come in and we dab. And we say, well, I'm thankful to be here. And I'm so glad that God chose to save someone like me. I'm so glad. And you know what? We fail to break the box and give it all to him. And say, here it is. Here's all of me. I want to worship you with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with my whole body. God, I want to give it all to you because you're worthy for what you've done in my life. She didn't say that she, as she was there, that I'm just going to give him just a little bit and I can take the rest of this and I can do something else with it. No, God is worthy of it all. That God is worthy of all of our praise and all of our honor and all of our glory. Sometimes we need to quit dabbing and we need to break the box and get it out and praise the Lord. Lord, and worship the Lord. Well, and as she was there, she didn't say, well, it's just the thought that counts. See, that's Baptist. That's Baptist. For one thing, we're afraid to raise our hands. We're afraid somebody will see that our armpit sweat. You know what? My armpit sweat. Get over it. Well, preacher, if I raise my hand, somebody's going to think there's something wrong with me. So I'll just praise God in my heart because it's the thought that counts. That's not what Mary said. She could have just said, I'm going to take a little bit of this oil in here and the rest of it is the thought that counts. No, she was fully committed for her worship and for her praise. See, some of us, we come in on Sunday morning and we're so much in need of spiritual help that we can't worship because we've took off all week. We come to church and we get energized and we get right with God and we spend time around the altar, or you pray at your seat and you get your heart right with God, and when you leave here everything's good, and then by Monday or Tuesday we take a break and we let our lives kind of go astray. So then when we come in next Sunday, we're already so much in need of spiritual help that we can't worship because the only thing we say is, God help me, God help me. instead of going through the week, and even though that we all face life and we all have different burdens and troubles and trials, and I understand that, and sometimes it's going to smack you right upside the head, how about working on your spiritual life during the week and praying and saying, God, help me today that I'll do the best that I can. God, help me tomorrow that I'll do the best that I can, so that when we come in here on Sunday, that we're already realizing how good God has been to us throughout the week, and we're ready to worship Him for it. We're ready to praise Him for it. And I tell you what, if we'll have just a one or two that'll begin to praise the Lord and that'll begin to worship, I promise you it'll rub off on somebody else. I promise you. It's human nature, for one thing. And also, I tell you what, the more that you glorify God, the more He'll show up. She didn't say it's the thought that it counts. She didn't want to save a little bit for another occasion. She said, no one or nothing deserves the praise that I'm going to give Jesus. She had already decided that this alabaster box full of ointment was for Him, for her to praise Him. And there is nobody that deserves your praise more than Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm thankful that you guys love me. During the week, I get texts like crazy that people, man, you're preaching good, you're doing good, we love you. Hey, I know I'm preaching good because my mama said I was. She emailed me this week and told me I was preaching good. So I know I'm preaching good. Hey, but we come in here and we have good preaching, we have good singing, and we kind of just let it go. We dab a little bit. And I thank y'all for encouraging me, but it's not about me. Hey, if something happens to me this week and I go on to the other side of glory, y'all better be here Sunday morning ready to go again. It's not about me. It's all about Him. She didn't want to save anything for another occasion. See, I'm afraid that sometimes that we're all still just giving Dollar Tree praise. Nothing wrong with Dollar Tree. I love Dollar Tree. I'm going there and get a whole sack full of stuff for $10. I'm a tightwad and I like it. But I also realize that there's times when we're going to a birthday party and Autumn says, well, we need to go somewhere and get somebody a present. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Dollar Tree. She don't go to Dollar Tree when I'm in those circumstances, but I want to go to Dollar Tree. And then we'll go to the Dollar Tree. Hey, listen, this is what we do sometimes. You go in there to the Dollar Tree and you pick up two or three dollar items and you say, well, it was the thought that counts, when you could have done better, when you could have done more. And we come to church and we get Dollar Tree mentality. We come in here and we say, well, I went to church. I done what God said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then we come in here and we just kind of sit on it. We just kind of, God bless me. Please, God bless me. Instead of saying, God, let me give you back a little bit. Let me worship you. Let me praise you. Hey, this message ain't to y'all. This is to us. Or sometimes we got front pocket praise. You say, well, what's front pocket praise, preacher? Well, as Murray was right here, she was all in. She was not cared about financial gains that she could have had. She wasn't cared about the heirloom. She wasn't cared about it. She broke her box and she poured it out on Jesus. Well, you know, the days of bibbed overalls are almost over. But I remember as a youngster, a lot of the old men wore bibbed overalls. And you'd see them at the store buying a bottle of pop and a pack of Nabs. Us from North Carolina knows what that is. You'd see them buying a bottle of pop and a pack of Nabs, and you'd see them getting that front pocket. And they'd pay for whatever it was. That's front pocket praise, the little stuff. But if you ever got them to unzip this right here and get in that pocket, then you know you was into something. There'd be a wad to come out of there, they'd choke a mule in a swamp. $100 bills rolled up. And you're like, well, you know what? We need to get out of the front pocket with our praise. And I'm not talking about you giving money. I'm talking about wholeheartedly praising God, worshiping God. Let's get in here where it's deep. Let's get in here and worship God the way that He deserves to be worshiped. But your praise is not waste, just as Murray's was not waste, that ours is not waste, and we should be absolutely giving it to Jesus Christ. She didn't care what anyone else thought. And as we looked around the room, we saw all the reasons that other people should be praising God, and no one was but Murray. Well, preacher, I am praising. I'm praising with my heart. I'm just not vocal. I don't want to cause a scene. Well, let me stop you right there just for a second. Just for one quick second. I've been to ball games with some of you. I've seen you at ball games. And when something listen, I ain't trying to be derogatory about your spiritual life. But when something is precious to you and something means a lot to you, like your little kids running up and down a ball court or whatever sport they might be playing, you all of a sudden get vocal. You all of a sudden don't care what kind of scene you cause. Some of you probably even been escorted out a time or two. Autumn should have been. She ain't here. But all of a sudden, because something is well, when is our praise going to get that precious to us? When is our worship going to get that precious to us? Hey, I've been at some of you's house and watching a ball game on TV. See you jump up and down and holler and scream and fuss and throw things. And I've seen you jump up and down out of just extreme excitement for your team. I was watching Silas play football yesterday on TV, like many of us have during this COVID pandemic thing. We've watched our kids play on TV, and Silas was at Bassett playing football yesterday, and he made an interception. And I'm sitting in the living room by myself, nobody else around, and I found myself standing up, clapping my hands. Because I was proud of my boy. I was excited for him. I knew that excited him. And then I got on my phone and I began to text a couple of my buddies that their sons play football too. How about that? And they were sending me, that's my boy, that's good job, you know. And I mean, we were just back and forth on text. Where's my excitement in the house of the Lord like that? Where's my praise like that, that I don't care? Hey, I hollered through the house, hey, Maggie, Silas just made an interception. And she said, good. She wasn't excited, but I was so excited that I wanted her to know it. When are we going to get so excited about God that we first of all begin to give Him praise? And when we begin to praise Him and to worship Him like He should, I promise you that other people will take notice of it, that other people will hear about it. This place won't just be a church. It'll be a church that's alive. It'll be a church that cares about people and that Jesus Christ is working in. I tell you this morning, again, I am not trying to say anything bad about our church. I love our church. I feel like, again, if I didn't think this was the best church in Surrey County, I'd get my kids out of here and we'd go to the best church in Surrey County. But I feel like Fellowship is the best church in Surrey County. And that's why I want to be here, and I want to raise my family here, and I want to be with y'all. But let's think about some things as we come to this church. What do you want this church to be? What do you want this church to be? Because I believe that we are lacking something, and I believe that thing that we are lacking is a willingness to worship. I'm going to be straight with you. I try to be straight with my kids. I tell Silas sometimes, since I brag on him a lot, I'll tell you how real I am with him sometimes. I've told him, look, in this particular sport, you're not D1 material. You're not going to make it D1. Now, you say, well, preacher, you shouldn't crush his dreams like that. I'm not. I'm just being real with him. Hey, you're not 6'7". You're not D1 material. You're not going to make it D1. So you need to decide if you're going to work and try to go D2, D3, or you just want to go and have fun and play and don't worry about it. Well, let me just be real with you, church, this morning. I'm not trying to flatter you and I'm not trying to fuss, either one. But I'm just going to say this. When we'll let go just a little bit, quit worrying about what anybody else thinks, and we'll worship the Lord, you're going to see God show up in an amazing way. You're going to see God show up. And when we leave here, you're going to know we've been at church. Hey, you might even get lucky, and when God shows up, I don't even get to preach. What do you mean, preacher? Well, you may have a testimony that's the key to the service that day. There may be a song that's the key to the service that day. We need to just turn loose a little bit. Pretend that you're at a ball game when you come in here, and we'll be all right. Again, I'm not fussing. I'm just saying this is what I really feel like God's put on my heart for our church, is that we just let go. Praise God. Your praise is not waste. Your praise is not something that's taken lightly. Look what Jesus said. Jesus told them all, he rebuked them, and he said, let me tell you something. Don't you worry about what she's doing, because any time that the gospel is given from now on, this woman's story is going to be told. Look what we're doing this morning. Thousands of years later, we're telling her story. Your praise is not waste. Hannah, if you will, come on. Well, preacher, what do you expect of us? What do you want us to do? I don't want you to do anything except for listen to the Holy Spirit. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, and let him lead you and guide. Well, preacher, would you be happy if I come up there and jumped off the platform two or three times? If the Lord leads you, I would be happy with that. Well, preacher, would you be happy if I hollered amen? If the Lord leads you, I would be happy with that. Well, preacher, what if I just sit back here and cry? If that's the way the Lord puts it on you? What I'm just telling you is I think we're a little uptight, church. Me included. Last week, we were standing here and we were singing, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me," I believe is what the song was. Or no, I'll tell you what it was. When we were singing Amazing Grace, and at the end, they sung Praise God. I didn't open my eyes. My eyes were closed. I have no earthly idea if anybody else raised their hands or not, but I raised my hands toward heaven, and I almost felt like an oddball in God's house worshiping my Father. That wasn't your fault. That was my fault. I let the devil try and tell me to put my hands down. Oh, you look weird standing up our worship. Well, you know what? I don't look weird when I'm standing on that top bleacher going, "Come on, man, that was a foul." Y'all have done it too. Y'all have done it too. But then we come to church and, "Oh, preacher, we need to be in order. I don't want nobody to look at me." Church, let's just let go and let God and let's worship him. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. I'm not asking you to raise a hand this morning. Just want you to look in your life. Are you worshiping God like he's precious to you? Are you fully committed to praising him? Are you ready to break the box and pour it out on him? Or are we just going to keep dabbing? Or are we going to stay in the front pocket? It's up to us, church. How much are we going to worship God? The others in the house, they stood talking about Mary. She didn't care. Quit caring about what anybody else thinks. And you think about how good God's been to you and how much praise he deserves from your life. God, help us. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for this day. God, I thank you for your word. God, please let everything that I preach always be in love. God, there's nothing more than I want to see than you to take this place right here and you use us to our full potential. God, that you use us as a family just to love lost souls and to see people come to know Jesus Christ, and that we worship you the way that you're deserved to be worshiped. In Jesus' name, amen.